Come, Holy Spirit, and touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with love for you. Amen. Each week, Heather and I lead a session of collective worship, possibly better known to you as assembly, for both St Paul's School and Linden School. Prior to March last year, we used to go physically into the two schools and lead the sessions with the teachers and the children. Since the first lockdown, we have continued to lead these sessions, but we now make and edit films, which are uploaded to our YouTube channel, and the children and the teachers watch them together in the classroom. Or now, as with the first lockdown, the children are being homeschooled and they might watch them with their parents as well. This week, as I filmed the wise men moving from the windowsill in church to the crib in the Lady Chapel there now, via the font, I wondered why I was retelling this part of the Christmas story again. Surely the children had learned this part many years ago. Herod and the wise men had certainly been part of their Christmas services. Would the children be bored hearing the story again? The same old familiar tale. But as these questions went through my mind, so there seemed another voice which countered, saying to me, but this is my story, and this is your story. This is a story you must keep telling, because it is so radical and so full of wonder and love. Charles reminded us on Sunday that the stories we hear as part of our scripture can seem so familiar that we forget to truly listen or to truly see what is contained within. I was being reminded in that moment by that counter voice that I was to listen again and see afresh this story of the wise men. After all, it is a story about revelation, of uncovering, of new things beginning, new things happening. Scary and mysterious things for sure, but nonetheless new things. And in that voice I heard also my own complacency, how I've become a bit too familiar with the story. It started me pondering anew about our place within the whole story of the people of God, the meta-narrative, if you like. There is an overarching story, and our stories all fit within that. We are meant to hear the overarching story and constantly search, like the wise men, to find our place within it. And as we search and get to different places in our life, we need to constantly search again, because the perspective will have shifted. Today's readings are no different for us either. Familiar bits of scripture reread in perhaps exactly the same way as Jesus read in the synagogue at Nazareth that day. How many of the congregation in the synagogue heard the first words out of his mouth and thought, oh yes, I know this bit, and switched off? They switched on pretty quickly at the end, though, when he dared to suggest that he himself was the fulfillment of this scripture in Isaiah. Wonder how many of us this morning thought, oh yes, I know this bit, and I even know the ending. I know this part of Luke's gospel. I don't really need to give it my full attention. I only ask the question not of you, but because I myself am very tempted to do that. There's too much else going on in my own mind, too many lists of things that have not been done or need to be done. And sometimes our attention wanders. In my experience, it is when we get a little bit too comfortable with our spirituality or what we think we know about a piece of scripture or therefore about God, that God surprises us. The surprise was definitely in the Sabbath, in the synagogue that Sabbath morning, as the son of Joseph stood up to read the prophet Isaiah and radically declared what he understood to be his messianic mission. He is the spirit-anointed herald of good news to those without hope. Don't forget, at this point, he has journeyed to Galilee fresh from the temptations in the desert. And we are told by Luke, at the very beginning of that passage, Jesus is filled with the Spirit. He brings freedom to the oppressed by inaugurating the Jubilee year of release, the year of the Lord's favour. The Jubilee year is spoken about in Leviticus and happens every 50th year when possessions of sold land and houses were returned to the original owner and all debts were cancelled. A clean slate was given. Jesus is proclaiming a Jubilee year for all. It is important to recognise that this includes Gentiles and the marginal for Luke, i.e. those excluded from social and religious relationship because of any number of factors, such as those related to gender, age, economic destitution, physical malady, or religious impurity. Some would say we haven't moved very far. A release, in other words, freedom, restored relationship. The Jubilee year is being fulfilled in Jesus, who in himself, filled with the Holy Spirit, comes to lift the yoke of sin and carry the burden of outcast for all of us. I do not think we can possibly understand the radical nature of what Jesus is proclaiming. Mind you, it seems pretty radical now if we stop to listen to what is being said, given the state of the world. But imagine for a moment that you are someone on the margins in this Jewish society, someone who is outcast for whatever reason. And you are hearing this for the first time in that very constructed and restricted regime of rules and regulations. Imagine this promise of freedom, of all debts cancelled, your sin forgiven, being heard for the first time. For me, this is the revelation, the uncovering and the epiphany, the realization of this something new that God is doing. I think we have preached sin too much and weighed people down with guilt and the burden of it, rather than actually really looking and hearing Jesus' words about the burden being lifted in him. Jesus never ever came to make the burden worse. He never ever came to pile the guilt upon the shoulders of those who were already made to feel guilty. The absolute radical nature of Jesus, the revolutionary, was he came to lift it away and not even level it at us in the first place. Of course, though, this was too much for those who listened on that Sabbath morning. Maybe it is too much for us to truly hear this morning. To begin with, they marvel at him speaking well of Jesus and being amazed at his gracious words. But soon this gives way to unease and rejection as Jesus begins to show them what lies behind this teaching. A turning upside down of their ordered world. For what lies behind is what Luke goes on to show us in the rest of his gospel. This Luke, who may have been a Jew or a Gentile himself, we do not know, but who did inhabit the Gentile world and knows it well, goes on to show the radical nature of God at work in his accounts of healing the lame, making the blind see and the deaf hear, proclaiming the good news of sins forgiven and those on the outside being listened to. This is not what those in the synagogue want to hear. They want to claim for themselves and their own the blessings announced by Jesus. They're not sure they like this young upstart after all, actually. He is only Joseph's son. What does he know? And who does he think he is to claim all of this? So many times as we look around the world, and devastatingly in America, particularly at the moment after the events of last night, I think we can be like those first listeners on that Sabbath day, claiming the promises for ourselves and looking at those who don't know as much or don't fit our idea of worthiness askance, wanting our order instead of the kingdom of God, and calling those promises of Jesus our truth. And yet surely we know different. After all, this is not Joseph's son. This is the Son of God. And as such, as John writes in his letter, we conquer the world through our faith, through our belief in that. And it is our faith and our belief that leads us to look at the events of the world and not be fearful. Not be fearful of the different shape of person who's standing in front of us. We need to be giving the same freedom in the name of Jesus to those around us who are frightened about being judged, stepping tentatively towards the love in God that is offered to all. Just imagine if all the people in the world really knew the true meaning of freedom and unconditional love in Jesus Christ. What a different world we would live in. And we can only offer this love because we have been loved first. Loved so much that the freedom offered in Jesus as the fulfillment of the scripture, as the anointed one, lifts the burdens of this world from our shoulders. It is our faith and our belief that Jesus is the Son of God that sets us free. Nothing more and nothing less. The radical revolution of Jesus continues to this day in you and me as we hear these words afresh. We are not invited to observe the story, to sit back and enjoy the adventure as a novel, but to join in the journey. Journeys are underway in this scripture and in our world constantly. The wise men, Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, and our own. It is a journey into understanding, commitment, revelation, and the strange revolution that this Jesus brings, the Son of God. So the phrase to end with is, tell the story and share the glory. Amen.